Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. We left off here yesterday with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah B'Shimon Bayuchai, Shum Davalei Mitzvah Haba Be'Avera. That over here, the problem with the Lulav is a problem of Mitzvah Haba Be'Avera, not the problem of Shelachem. The reason that is because of the Pasuk from Malachi, which says, Ve'veitem Gazul Ve'ta Piseach Ve'ta Chule. And the Gemara Darshan from that, Gazul Dumya De Piseach, that a stolen object is similar to an object with a mum in it, animal that is somehow lame or not ra'ui to go on the mizbeach. And ma piseach let leitakanto, just like piseach, there's no way to fix it. Avgazul let leitakanto. So to a stolen object, loshna lifnei yeush, loshna l'achar yeush. Now it doesn't matter if it's before yeush, doesn't matter if it's after yeush. This is something we'll have to discuss more extensively today, how yeush works. Bishlam alifnei yeush, before the owners have given up hope of retrieving the object, and it's still theirs, then we have the pasuk of Adam ki akiv mikem, arumah rachmana. The pasuk says that if a person from amongst you brings a korban, this week's parsha, v'lav didehu, and it's not yours. So we say, Adam ki akiv mikem, that means that you have to bring your own korban, v'lav didehu. And this korban is not yours because the balim have yet to give up hope of retrieval. And since they have yet to give up hope of retrieval, there's no kinyan here. There's no kinyan. The gazlan, the one who stole the lulav, does not have full possession of the object, and therefore he can't bring it as a korban, because it's just not his. Although the achar yeush, after the balim have given up hope of retrieval, then hakan yobi yeush. Now he has a kinyan through yeush, and it's his. Once it's his fully, why can't he utilize it as a korban? Now it's his object. Even if he has to give it back now, meaning that he owes the money to the balim who he stole from, he doesn't have to give back the object itself, because he was kona the object. He has to pay back the value of the object to the nigzal. So now the object is his. So why can't he use it? Allah mishum davalei mitzvah haba'a be'aveira. It's a problem of a mitzvah that comes through an aveira. Now this mitzvah haba'a be'aveira is hotly debated, spoken about by all the rishonim, because it appears in a number of places, the issue of mitzvah haba be'aveira. But in addition to that, we've seen earlier in the Masechet already, that for instance, by sukkah, the Gemara said we have the word lecha, to teach you that it has to be your sukkah, and not a stolen sukkah. Why does the Gemara need a miut, a specific miut by sukkah to tell you you can't use a stolen sukkah? Why don't they just invoke the principle of mitzvah haba'a be'aveira? Same thing by tzitzit. By tzitzit, it has to be your tzitzit, the Gemara says. And it brings a pasuk that tells you that you have to have your own tzitzit and not stolen tzitzit. And it brings a pasuk. Again, why don't you invoke the principle of mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira? So earlier on in the Masechta, back on Daf Tet, Tosafot raised the issue. And Tosafot over there came to the conclusion that mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira is a rabbinic issue. It's not a Torah level problem. The Ramban also says the same thing. He says, look at the source pasuk. The source pasuk is from Malachi. It's not from the Torah. So it's only the Divrei Sofrim. It's a Din Derabanan. So then, if it's a Din Derabanan, I understand. It's always a Din Derabanan that causes you a problem. Why do I bring the Psukim in those other instances? I bring the Psukim because that makes it a Doraita level problem now. By Sukkah, by Tzitzit. If I bring that, then in Mina Torah you have a problem. Not just Mina Derabanan you have a problem. And that would explain why in certain instances I bring up the issue of it being yours and not stolen. Because then I've raised it to a Torah level problem, not a rabbinic level problem, mitzvah haba ve'aveira. Tosafot over here, as well as the Ritva, introduce a different concept of mitzvah haba ve'aveira, because Tosafot over here says, Da'afagav dekra gobi korban k'tiv, hu adin b'chol ha'mitzvot, da'avi da'oraita. Says even though the pasuk is specifically written by korban, nevertheless, you can extrapolate it to all other mitzvot, and it's deoraita. Opposed to the Tosafot who says back then that it's derabanan, over here he says that it's deoraita, it's mina Torah. Now once you do that, you have to explain all these cases. In addition to that, you have to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just said before that when it comes to a lulav of avodah zarah and a lulav of iran nidachat, you can't utilize it. The Gemara will tell us that's because michtat tutei shiurei. It's as if it doesn't exist. Why do I have to invoke that principle? Why not just say it's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira? Why don't I have that be the issue over here? So Tosafot says that lo dami gezela, There's a difference of gzeila, the machmat averat gezel ba'aha mitzvah yishiyotzeba. And over here, the gezel is the facilitator of the mitzvah. Versus by Ashera and here anidachat, the avera is not the facilitator of the mitzvah. By Ashera and here anidachat, that's not what made it a lulav. That's not what gave you access to the lulav. You have an avera, but that's separate from the mitzvah that you're trying to do. Over here, the stealing of the lulav is what allows you to do the mitzvah of lulav. And so therefore, Tosafot makes this differentiation that when the mitzvah is created through the avera or facilitated through the avera, then it's a problem of mitzvah haba ve'avera. On the other hand, if you have the avera, and then separate from that, you're trying to accomplish a mitzvah with something that had an avera done with it, that's not called the mitzvah haba'a ve'avera, like you're saying, David. That's exactly what the words mean. Mitzvah haba'a ve'avera, that came through an avera. And only when it's the facilitator do we say that it's a problem. It says that's why, by like matzah of tevel. Why is matzah of tevel problematic? The Gemara brings a pasuk for that. It doesn't use mitzvah haba'a ve'avera. Because he says, Deka'ika yisura ve'nofik yidei matzah. Because you would have thought the possibility is that, okay, you have tevel, and then you yotze the mitzvah. The tevel is not facilitating the mitzvah over here. All that you have tevel, which is a problem, and then you have the mitzvah of matzah. So you would think that it's okay. You eat the matzah, you yotze the mitzvah of matzah. You have nothing else. So do the mitzvah of matzah. Almost like, osei doche lo tase. And you have the tevel, and fine, it works. So that's what the pasuk comes to tell you. No, you can't use that. You can't do that. And that's why mitzvah ba'avera will not help you in these instances. Mitzvah ba'avera will only help you in instances where it is the facilitator of the avera. The last approach is brought in the neshem of the Balei HaTosfot. It's brought by the Ritva, it's brought by others. I think Rav Soloveitchik and the Rishimat Shiurim also favors this heavily. And that is, you have to check carefully where the Gemara brings up mitzvah ba'avera. The Gemara only brings up mitzvah ba'avera in a unique set of mitzvot. Give a list of the mitzvot. The mitzvot one, lulav. Number two, shofar. Number three, korban. So what they suggest is that the mitzvah haba ba'avera is only problematic in mitzvot of ritzui. Only a mitzvot where the object is used to supplicate before Hashem is used as a vehicle for drawing close to Hashem. In that instance, mitzvah haba ba'avera is problematic. It's similar to something we've seen before. We saw this in Yoma, that it's inappropriate to say falsehoods when you are lifnai v'lifnim. When the Kohen Gadol is approaching Hashem and he's saying a tefillah or he's making requests of Hashem, you must speak the truth in that situation because it would be completely inappropriate to say something that was off. The Gemara in Bava Batra brings that with regards to Bikurim, that by Bikurim, which you bring before Hashem, that the Mikra Bikurim, if for some reason you would say that I brought these from the Aretz and you didn't own the Aretz, the Gemara refuses to allow you to do that because you're coming and bringing something for Hashem. How could you say something that's possibly not true? It's not exact. So the same idea here. The things that are used for ritzui, things that are used for supplication before Hashem, those things cannot have a mitzvah bava bavira. Now, by korban, it's obvious. You have the pasuk melochi, but you have the psukim all over the nevi'im that Hashem doesn't want the korbanot of that which is stolen. Hashem doesn't want korbanot that are brought despite the fact that you're oppressing other people, and despite the fact that you stole it from other people. Hashem's not interested in those korbanot. That's not what Hashem wants. Same thing here. We're going to see later on in the Masechta with regards to lulav, that lulav is equivalent of being meratzeh lifnai lifnim. There's an inyan of ritzui by the lulav, and we know that by the nanunim, by the shaking of the lulav, that that is a form of supplication of tefillah before Hashem, and the shofar has that same status, the blowing of the shofar. Again, we'll see that in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It says, Ilo yunimtza lifnai v'lifnim. All of these objects are used in ritzui before Hashem. In those instances, we invoke the principle of mitzvah baba avera. On the other hand, by sukkah, tzitzit, those aren't used in ritzui before Hashem. And therefore, you need a separate pasuk to say to you that there's a problem here, because mitzvah baba avera would not apply otherwise to sukkah, wouldn't otherwise apply to tzitzit, because they aren't used in ritzui before Hashem. So that distinction would break down where we apply mitzvah baba avera, number one. It narrows it to a very select mitzvot, where the Gemara invokes it. Unlike what Tosafot does here is to extrapolate it to all mitzvot, would not extrapolate to all mitzvot, because it's not the principle that we would impose on other mitzvot, because they're not the ritzui before Hashem. And so because of that, we can explain the differences between why the Gemara searches in other places for another limud besides mitzvah haba be'aveira. So then, there are those that want to explain that mitzvah haba be'aveira, somewhat along the lines of what Tosafot and the Ritva say, which is mitzvah haba be'aveira has to be simultaneous. Simultaneous in the sense that not only is it facilitating, but it is the aveira is done in tandem with the mitzvah. That if the aveira happens prior, and then the mitzvah happens later on, it doesn't change the chefetz into a chefetz of aveira. The chefetz of aveira is only when you do the aveira, and that facilitates, but also is happening at the same time you're doing the mitzvah.
But that's the time
element. Right, so it's not clear how you stole the lulav. It could be that when you pick up the lulav, you're making the kinyan at the same time that you're being yotze the mitzvah of lulav. I think it's a much harder explanation, but there are rishonim that want to suggest that there's a time element here to mitzvah haba aveira, that they have to come in tandem in order for it to be a mitzvah haba aveira. Almost everybody agrees in the Shas that there is a mitzvah haba aveira. That's number one. There's only, we're going to see one opinion today, Shmuel's opinion, who says there's no concept of mitzvah haba aveira. Everyone else thinks it exists, and everybody else agrees that if you have a mitzvah haba aveira, you have not done the mitzvah. It's not that you did a mitzvah with an aveira. Mitzvah haba aveira says no mitzvah at all. So then, when you have mitzvot that don't qualify for a mitzvah haba aveira, according to many, you can extrapolate it to these other mitzvot. And even if you believe you cannot extrapolate to other mitzvot, doesn't mean that there's not a problem when you do something wrong with other mitzvot. Just means that you might have a mitzvah and you have an aveira. That doesn't make it right, then. It means that you have a mitzvah, you have an aveira. You have to deal with that situation. Just means it will not erase the mitzvah. It won't say that the mitzvah doesn't work at all. That's what mitzvah haba aveira says. There is no mitzvah here. That's the problem with mitzvah haba aveira. You can't overcome it. There's no mitzvah whatsoever. All right, so that's just a little bit on mitzvah haba aveira. Right, the next thing we have to deal with, just explain, is Yeush. The idea of Yeush. Yeush is brought up in the Gemara Bava Metzia. It's also brought up at the end of the Gemara Bava Kama. Yeush is when the Balim say, Vayli l'chisaron zeh. Enough with this loss. They are giving up hope of retrieval. And that's the way that we express Yeush, is the person says, it's enough. I can't deal with this loss anymore. I got to move on. That's Yeush. Now, whether they have to actually say it is a question mark. We assume in some places we say there's an umdana. The assumption is that the person has given up hope of getting it because of the circumstances or the nature of the circumstances. There are other times where we say, even if he says he's not miayish, we don't really care what he says. For instance, if he's watching his boat sink in the ocean and he goes, I don't have yeush. So then we don't worry about the fact that he doesn't have yeush because there's nothing he can do about it at that point in time. There's nothing that he, in terms of retrieval, it's lost. And that's called a loss. So there are, again, sometimes where we ignore what he's saying. There's other times where we don't worry whether he said it or not. We assume there is Yeush, but there is this middle category where likely is that he has to say Vayli l'chisaron zeh, that it's enough, and that's the loss. Now, in general, there's a machloket in the Gemara whether Yeush kadei or Yeush kadi is kone. Yeush by itself, does it work? Is that sufficient to create a kinyan for the gazlan? Once he gives up hope of getting it back, does that now mean it belongs to the gazlan? Or does that mean if you found it, it's yours to keep because the balim gave up hope? According to most of the Amoraim and the way that we paskin, Yeush by itself is not sufficient. You need what's called Yeush and something else. The something else can either be Shinoi Rishut, which is that there's a change of ownership, change of location, Kinyan of some sort, or Shinoi Hashem. The object changes its status. If you do something to the object, it changes the name of the object. The Gemara there in Bava Kamma spends a lot of time on this issue of Shinoi Hashem, when an object changes its name. So the question always is, what is creating the Kinyan over here? You need Yeush, and then maybe you need something else. Tosafot spends a huge Tosafot here. They're all spending their time on this issue of Yeush plus. You need what else? Shinui Rishut, Shinui Hashem. How does it work in all these cases, this additional Kinyan that you need in order to have it change ownership? Part of the problem comes from a sugya that's in Bava Metzia, which is called Yeush Shelo Midat, which is in the case where you found the object, and Yeush took place after you already made the Kinyan on the object. So there we have a machloket, Rov and Rabo, as to whether that works or not. Meaning that Yeush after the fact, is that okay? So that's another issue. Usually we want Yeush to take place prior to your making the Kinyan. Because if Yeush takes place once it's already in your possession, what the Gemara calls it is Baliyot Chob Be'aveira. Came to your possession Be'aveira. When you took it originally, it wasn't yours. Then the Yeush takes place, and now all of a sudden you've dislocated it from the Aveira because of the Yeush. We don't want that. We want the Yeush first, and then you make in the Kinyan, because that way it was out of the possession of the individual before you made the Kinyan. And that's usually the way that we want this to take place. Now, when the Gemara was talking about here, Lifnei Yeush and the Achar Yeush, the Gemara here is discussing Yeush by itself. And Tosafot is surprised. He says, wait a minute. What happened to everything else over here? What do you mean that there's Yeush over here. Yeush isn't sufficient to make a kinyan. You need other things. So Tosafot discusses why there might be Yeush here. And then the Hakdashat HaKorban. Depends when you did the Hekdesh. If you did the Hekdesh after the Balim had Yeush, then there would be a full-fledged kinyan, and it would be yours. And then you'd have to run into the problem of mitzvah ba'beira, possibly. On the other hand, if you first were makdish the animal, and then only afterwards did the Balim have Yeush, then it doesn't work, because you don't have enough ownership to be makdish the animal. And therefore it's a problem of adam ki yakriv mikem, that when you take the korban, it's not your korban. So that's why here the Gemara says, lifnei Yeush, before Yeush, it's no good. Because before Yeush, it's not yours. It's not yours in the sense that you don't have enough power to be makdish the animal because you don't have enough ownership. That's what it means, lifnei Yeush. Doesn't mean that if it was after Yeush, you would have enough power. After Yeush, you can then be makdish it, and you could then use it because you'd have then Yeush and Shinui Hashem. Because you would have, or Shinui Rashut even. And that's why you would be koneh at that point. So then it drops away the problem of ownership, and the problem becomes a problem of a mitzvah ba'aveira. So that's how Tosafot gets out of this problem of the Gemara implying that Yeush is the pivotal issue over here. Yeush shouldn't be itself, should not be the pivotal issue. It's a Yeush plus something else. So that's what Tosafot says. It has to do with being makdish the animal. And the question, if you have enough control to be makdish the animal, or if you have Yeush already and you're makdish it, then you complete the kinyan, and therefore you lose the problem of not having enough control or ownership because it's yours now. Since it's yours, then you have to move to the other problem, which is mitzvah abba ba'aveira. Right, so the answer is no. Generally, we're not assuming. If there's simanim, then we say no. If there's reason for the balim to believe that he would get it back, we don't assume there's yeush. If there's no reason the balim have no way that they can get it back, we almost automatically assume yeush, as long as they're aware of the fact that they lost it. If they're not aware of the fact that they lost it, then you get into that concept of yeush lamidat, which is, do we assume that he would have made yeush, even though he doesn't know about it? That's the problem of rabba and rabbo. But in the cases where we understand that he would be aware of the fact that he lost it, and there's no way for him to retrieve it, or he thinks there's a low likelihood of retrieval, then we assume there is Yeush in those cases. You have to look at the circumstance. Every circumstance can be different. All right. Vam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. My dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk? Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat. Sone gezel be'ola. I, Hashem, love mishpat, justice, treating other people rightly, doing the right thing, ben adam lechaveiro. And I hate stolen olot. I hate the fact that you're stealing korbanot, that you're doing your ben adam l'makom at the expense of a ben adam l'chaveiro. So mashallah ma'ilach basar b'dam, she'over al beit ha'meches. It's a case of an individual, a king, who is passing by the tax collection house. Marli Abadav, as he's passing by the tax collection house, he says to his servants, "Tnu meches l'mochsim, go and pay the taxes." Amar lo, alo kol ha'meches v'lo shelcha. You're the king. It's your taxes. Why are you paying taxes if you're going to get the money in the end anyway? It's like putting it from your left pocket to your right pocket. Why would you do that? If I pay taxes, then everybody else will learn that that's what you're supposed to do. You pay taxes. So they won't run away from paying taxes. They won't exempt themselves from paying taxes. I hate theft in an olah. Mimeni yilamdu banai. From me, my children will learn. Ve'avrichu atzman min hagezel. And they won't steal, because everything in the world belongs to Hashem. So when you bring the korban, whether it's your korban or it's a stolen korban, I mean it's someone else's object, in the end it all belongs to Hashem. And it all can be given back to Hashem as a korban. But Hashem refuses to take the gezel, even though it's all his, because he wants to demonstrate that gezel is unacceptable. So if Hashem shows that Gezel is unacceptable in his avoda, then certainly Gezel in general, people will know, is unacceptable. You can't do that. And that's why Hashem says, I won't accept a korban of Gezel. So now the Gemara says, Itmar nami, amar rabbi ami, yavesh pasul, mipnei she'enu hadar. Yavesh is a problem because it's not hadar. This we discussed yesterday. Why is yavesh a problem? Because enu hadar. Tosafot says it's because it comes from pre-eitz hadar. From an etrog, we learned to lulav, that there's a specific requirement of hadar by the lulav. Rashi says it comes out from ze keli v'anvehu. It comes out of the regular mitzvah of hidur mitzvah, and this is lacking in hidur mitzvah. And I forgot to mention yesterday, but there is a third shita, the shita of the Raibud, and other rishonim, like the Ramban, some of them mention this, that the pasuk of lo hametim yahaluluka, that those that are dead cannot praise Hashem. So over here, they're looking at Yavesh being as the equivalent of dead. And we use the lulav as nanuim before Hashem. So it's used as to praise Hashem. We use it to shake it during Hallel. And so therefore, lo ameitim yaluluka is the problem with the lulav. Lulav is problematic because you can't use it as a Hallel to Hashem. Goes back to what we mentioned before with regards to lulav having that unique status of being used in ritzuei lifnei Hashem. And therefore, if it's yavesh, it doesn't work. Gazul pasol mishum da'avilei mitzvah haba be'aveira. And that's the reason behind the problem of gazul is mitzvah haba be'aveira. So that supports that position of Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So therefore, we have here a demonstration or description of the fact that Hashem refuses to accept gazul by korbanot. That teaches us the principle of mitzvah haba be'aveira, that it doesn't work. We have Tosafot who's willing to extrapolate that to all mitzvot HaTorah. We have other Rishonim who limit the scope of that expansion to mitzvot that are biritzui. Or we have other limitations such as it is the facilitator of the Avera or it's simultaneous with the Avera. From here we see the problem in our Mishnah of Gazul comes from this issue of mitzvah haba ve'avera. Obviously, again, before Yeush, it's a problem of Mishalachem, because it says Vakachtam Lachem, it has to be yours. After Yeyush, where there's a possibility that you work on it, it has a residual problem of Mitzvah Haba Bi'Aveira. And the Gemara says, Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. This argues in Rabbi Yitzchak, Dam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel. So here we have the one daya that thinks that there isn't a problem of Mitzvah Haba Bi'Aveira, which is, Oshanu Elo Be'Yom Tov Rishon, Abav Yom Tov Sheni, Toch Sheyotzei B'Sha'ol, Yotzei Nami B'Gazol. Just like a borrowed lulav is good after the first day, because it says lakachnu lachem bayom harishon. Bayom harishon, it's required to be yours. So just like by shaul, by borrowing, that's only true on the first day. On the second day, you can borrow a lulav and be yotzei. So too by gazul. The problem with gazul derives from the pasuk of lakachnu lachem bayom harishon. It has to be yours. And since it fails to be yours, so too on the second day, it'll be okay because there's no requirement of being yours. What you see from this is that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani HaMishmol does not worry about mitzvah haba be'aveira. And so it seems to be, according to their opinion, there is no concept of mitzvah haba be'aveira, whether it doesn't exist at all, or whether it's only rabbinic in nature, or whether it only applies to korbanot and you can't extrapolate it. They have this opinion that disagrees with the majority of all the Amoraim, Tanaim, that there is a concept called mitzvah haba be'aveira. So, Meitev, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Lulav HaGazul VeYavesh Pasul. Ha, Sha'ul Kasher. Our Mishnah says that a Lulav HaGazul and a Yavesh are problematic, yet a Sha'ul is okay, because it doesn't mention. It doesn't mention that a borrowed Lulav is problematic. Eimat, when can that be true? Ilei Mabi Yom Tov Rishon, if you think we're talking about the first day, Haktiv Lachem, Mishel Lachem. We say, Lakachtim Lachem, it has to be yours. So there it's clearly that Gazul is problematic on the first day, and Sha'ul is also problematic. And it's not his. Yom Tov Sheni. No, it's talking about the second day of Yom Tov. Meaning, the second day of Yom Tov, either it's Chol HaMoed or it's Yom Tov, depending wherever you are. But now, you've left the first day of Yom Tov. And then, our Mishnah says, on the second day, Ulav HaGazul VeYavesh Pasul. That means, Gezel is still problematic, yet Sha'ul is okay, because it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. That must be on the second day. After the problem of the Kachtam Lechem Yom Rishon falls away, that falls away after the first day. So now on the second day, I don't have a problem of Sha'ul, but I still have a problem of Gazul. Tani Gazul Pasul. So then it says that Gazul is problematic. What is the reason that Gazul is problematic? If Lachem fell away, it's mitzvah haba be'aveira. Now this is somewhat difficult because this assumes also that it's Lakachtam Lachem Bayom HaRishon, then the problem of Yavesh also possibly could fall away after Lakachtam Lachem Bayom HaRishon. So in the Gemara there, we said before that there's certain things that we extend beyond Yom HaRishon, and there's certain things that we only limit to Yom HaRishon. Some of it, the answer could be that it was just given over to the Chachamim to decide. Rashi says that the difference between Doraita and Dorabonon issues. Tosafot tried to come up with a differentiation, that is, things that are integral to the Lekicha continue beyond the first day. Things that are not integral to the Lekicha terminate after the first day. But you have to come up with some differentiation here as to what persists after the first day and what does not, because Bayom HaRishon is found in the Pasuk. And almost everything we darshan about it comes out of that Pasuk of Lakach Mechem Bayom HaRishon, Priyei Tzadar. All those things are found in this single Pasuk. So now the Gemara says, Amarova, the Olam, Bayom Tov Rishon. Now it's talking about the first day of Yom Tov, and it's not a question on Shmuel's position. V'lo mi bayi kamar. Our Mishnah is saying not only this. Lo mi bayi shol delav di dehu. You don't have to tell me about the borrowed object, it's not his. V'gazul, em estam gzela yeush balim hu. Let's assume that normal gzela involves Yehush Balim, Uchadi Dei Dami, and it's his, Kamash Balon, that we don't say that. Why would you say Stam gzela is Yehush? So Rashi explains over here that in Stam gzela we would assume that there's Yehush immediately, even though we don't hear anything from the Balim because of the nature of the way that it's stolen. Gzela is stolen in broad daylight. It's stolen while the Balim are watching. It's taken from right in front of them. So when it's taken in that way by force in front of them, they give up hope of ever retrieving the object because these gazlanim are not afraid. They come in broad daylight, you watch them, and they take everything while you're watching. They know that they're not going to get caught. They know that nobody's going to do them. They're strong men. They are marauders of some sort, and nobody's going to stop them. So there's no fear. That means that also you have no hope of retrieval in this case. So that's why we would assume Stam Zela involves Yehush Miyad. That the Balim give up hope of retrieval because they don't assume that they're going to get it back. The answer is no, Kamash Malon, that we don't say that it's immediately because he thinks that yes, right now they're running around and taking everything, but eventually the authorities are going to catch up with them and I'll have my day in court with them and I'm going to get my stuff back. So that would have been, the Havamina would have been, there is Yehush immediately. The Kamash Malon is no, there is no Yehush immediately and therefore you don't have a Kenyan. If there was Yehush immediately, then again, the Gazlan would have a Kenyan on it. And then he would be able to utilize it for the mitzvah because it wouldn't be a problem of shelachem because it would be his. Now, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have to pay back the money. It just means that it's his now and he has to pay back the value of the object to the person he stole from. But we don't say that. Kamash Malam, we don't say that until we hear the Balim give up hope. We don't assume that there's automatic yeush in these situations. Right now, we move into a continuation of this sugya, which is a very interesting sugya. It's a lot of Baba Kama involved in it as well. In terms of Kinyanim and Shinoi Rishut and Gzela, which is Amalo Rabhuna Lahanhu Avankaret. He said to these merchants, these were individuals who were peddlers, merchants that sold different items, Kizabnitu Asa Miakum, when you buy the Hadassim from the non-Jews, Lo Tigazazu Atun, you yourself should not cut them, Ela Legazza Inu, they should cut them, Viyavaluchu, and then give it to you. So they say, don't you be the one who cuts the Hadassim. Let the non-Jew cut the hadas that he's selling to you and give it to you. So the non-Jew is selling these hadasim to the Jew. Either the Jew can go and cut them for himself and then take them, or he can have the guy cut it for him and then give it to him. So what he says is, please make sure that they cut it first and then give it to you. My time, huh? What's the reason? Stam uvdei kochavim gazlane arata ninhu. That the assumption is that the land that this Oved kochavim is selling you, the hadasim from, did not belong to him. And that it was stolen. It's stolen property. And since it was stolen property, Bekarka and an exelet. Property is never stolen. This is a principle that Gemara has, is that you can't steal property. The reason you can't steal property is because you can't move it. It never moves. So then, as long as the property is still present, then there's obviously a hope of retrieval because the property never moved. You know where it is. You know who it belonged to. So as long as the name of the Balim is still associated with this property, we assume that Bekarka and an exelet. Since the property is not stolen, Hilkach the Gazazua Inu. Kehitlavi Yehush Balim Biyadayu Didhu. The Yehush Balim will take place in the hands of the Nachri. Vishinu Rishut Biyadayhu. And then you'll have Vishinu Rishut in your hands. So here the Gemara is clear that what's necessary in order to have a Kinyan on this object to change Rishut and no longer be a problem of Gezel, you need two things. You need Yehush and you need Shinu Rishut. Now, you need the Yehush and the Shinu Rishut to take place, but if you're the facilitator of both the Yehush and the Shini Rishut, then it's problematic. Because then it would become a mitzvah haba be'avera. Because you'd be the one who's tolesh, the one who takes it out, would be the gazlan. You'd be the thief. Now, if you're the thief, then the whole problem of the kinyan falls away because you're the one who stole it. On the other hand, if the Nachri is the one who steals it, and then that creates the Yehush Balim, and then he sells it to you, you have Shini Rishut, that kinyan makes it that the object is no longer a problem because you own the object. Now that you own the object, you can go ahead and use it for the mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah haba be'aveira. There's a clean break between the two. Assuming that he owns it, then it wouldn't be a problem. The problem here is that the Gemara says it's an assumption that Stam Zilab. We don't know for sure, but Stam, the Obdik Chavim, there it's thing. They took property, they stole somebody's property, they squatted on the property, they took it, and now they're selling the objects off of the property. Rashi is clear over here that the problem of mitzvah haba be'avera is only if you are the one who committed the avera. That the mitzvah haba be'avera does not pass from the person to person through the chefetz. Chefetz doesn't become a mitzvah baba avira chefetz, but rather there's the individual committed the avira. For him, it's a mitzvah baba avira. For another individual, it won't maintain the mitzvah haba avira. We're going to see that in a second in Rashi. But it's clear here that that's what you're trying to do, is that you're trying to separate between the gzela and the kinyan. By separating between the gzela and kinyan, you put the gzelos on the other individual. And then now when you make the kinyan, the object is free and clear of a mitzvah haba b'avirah. And it's yours because you have kinyan and you have shinoi rishut and you have yeyush. So you have all the things that clear it in terms of ownership. But you also have the clearing of mitzvah haba b'avirah because you did not commit the avirah. Again, according to Tosafot, that's helpful. He says the gzela has to be the facilitator of the mitzvah for you. That's not true in this case. It was the buying of it that gave it to you. The avirah was done by someone else. So it's not a problem. According to all these different reasonings before, we have to say that mitzvah b'avirah doesn't pass through the chayfetz. It only is associated with the individual who commits the avirah. And that brings up all the other shitot that we saw before. But Rashi clearly sees that distinction. Tosafot, according to the shita before, that a kinyan is only created through yeyush plus shinei rishut, says that the mitzvah baba avera is knocked off at the point when the Jew buys it. Because when the Jew buys it, then you have a completion of the yeyush as well as the shinei rishut, and that's what terminates the issue of a mitzvah baba avera. According to Rashi, Rashi seems to indicate that even if yeyush was sufficient to create the kinyan, now, why does the Gemara then in all these cases require something besides Yeush? So according to Rashi, that will be for a separate issue. There's one issue is getting rid of the problem of mitzvah baba avera. There's a secondary issue, which is getting rid of the problem of not owning it. You need to own it. That they're two separate issues. After Yeush, you might have a kinyan on the object, but to get rid of the mitzvah baba avera, even according to the one who says that Yeush by itself is koneh, then you still need the shinei rishut to get rid of it because of Rashi's shito that when you move it from the individual who committed the Avera to someone who didn't commit the Avera, that gets rid of the problem of mitzvah baba Avera. And so Rashi might be just explaining that no matter when you think the kinyan is in terms of ownership, in order to get rid of the mitzvah baba Avera, you need the additional step of shinei rishut, even according to the one who says that yeush is enough for a kinyan. And as Tosafot points out over here, the cutting of the object is not enough of a shinui here to create the kinyan. Because if that was the case, then right after Yeush and the severing of the object, that would be enough to change Rishut and get rid of the problem mitzvah baba avera. But it's clear from the Gemara here that severing the object is not enough of a maisa to take away mitzvah baba avera. So over here, what we're trying to do is separate between the gzela and the kinyan. And so we say, let the goy do the gzela, and then you'll do the kinyan, and then you'll free and clear it of mitzvah baba avera and the problem of ownership. All right, so there is one issue here which bothered me when you read the sugya. Oh, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about a couple of issues. First of all, Tosafot over here discusses whether there is a concept of yeyush by karka. And Tosafot comes to the conclusion that there is. Either there is no yeyush by karka, or yeyush is not effective by karka. But once there's no yeyush by karka, because karka ain't an exelet, then how does yeyush work over here? When you cut the hadasim off, why does it work? So Tosafot separates between the two issues and says, despite the fact that there is no yeyush by karka, there is yeyush by the metaltalim on the karka. So despite, even if you hear him just have yeyush about the karka, even though it doesn't work, even though he said there's yeyush, it just doesn't work, nevertheless, that yeyush will be sufficient to help out the hadasim. So once they're severed from the karka, then you can have the yeyush take effect. So that's how Tosafot solves the problem, separating between the yeyush of the karka and the object itself. Okay, right, exactly. So that's the other problem. That's what bothers me as well is, wait a minute, don't you have to return the object? You know that there's theft going on here, so don't you have to deal with the theft?
Well, he said that the case is where it's an assumption.
So what David says is, wait, we don't know that it's stolen, we're just taking a precaution because... Right, we're taking a precaution because in many cases that is considered to be, they, we might be stolen property. There is such a concept in American law. In American law, if you buy an object which you should have known is stolen, then the property can be confiscated for you without any remuneration. On the other hand, if you took the object in tmimut, you didn't know it was a stolen object, then we can't come and confiscate the object from you because you bought it in a wholehearted manner. Selling a flat screen TV for $30 while you're going into the Holland Tunnel, you can assume that it's probably a stolen object. Well, first of all, you shouldn't be buying it, but if you do buy it, that property can be confiscated for you because you should have known that that is stolen property. On the other hand, if there's no way for you to know, and you go into a store and you buy something, and you had no idea that the store got all of their inventory from a stolen object, then we're not going to confiscate it from you. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't know about it. So over here, that's the question. What happened over here? Do you know that it's stolen property or not? If the assumption is that it is stolen property, then how could you be buying it, knowing that you're condoning or, what do you call it, mafzik yehudei ovrei avera? You're helping out people who are doing the wrong thing by paying them the money. That's one question that you could ask here. The other possibility is that no, that, like David's suggesting, it's just maybe. It's a strong maybe, but it's still enough of a maybe that we don't worry about that. We just say take precautions, but we're not certain about it enough to say don't buy it. So that's one answer to the question is that there's not enough certainty here with regards to the gzela. And because there's not enough certainty here, we don't push on you to take care of the problem. We don't say to you, don't buy it, because we're not certain. But also say, you don't have to worry about mafzik yehudei ovrei avera, because it's not of a certainty, enough of a certainty to worry about it. The other possibility, which is Rashi raises over here, which is, v'shema oto karka misrael hava. Rashi says that maybe it belonged to a Jew. It's implying that if it was a non-Jew's property, it wouldn't have been an issue at all. The only issue here is because it's a Jew's property. Now, why is that? Why would you make such a distinction? So they, Achronim and some of the Rishonim deal with that over here and discuss what the issue is. Because there might be a difference in terms of Hashavat Gezela. That while the Gemara in Baba Kama debates the question of whether there is Gnevar Gezela from a Oved Kochavim, there the Gemara in Baba Kama discusses it. I'm not going to get into all the issues that we dealt with in Baba Kama as to what it's referring to, which type of Oved Kochavim it's referring to, and whether it has application today. Always when I do this, I just quote the Smak. The Smak who says that if we are the Jews and a Mashiach's going to come and he's going to pick us as his nation, but you don't want people to look at it and say, hey, look at those thieves that are, oh, Hashem picked those people as his nation. How could it be? He says that mitzad chilul Hashem, mitzad, being upright and just people, we don't steal, period. It doesn't matter who it's from. It doesn't matter who the other side of the transaction is. We don't steal. There's a chilul Hashem involved in it, and we don't steal, period. If that's a red line, that's how I'll express it to you. But in these situations where, in the Gemara Baba Kama, either permits gzeilah, or, and this is what might become here, there may be no requirement of heishivat gzela asher gazal. Which is that, while there may be a restriction against gezel miyakum, there may be no positive commandment to be heishivat gzela asher gazal. May not be any positive mitzvah to return the gzela. So as opposed to by a Jew's property, where you would have the possibility that if it was stolen from the Jew, you'd have to return it to the Jew because of heishivat gzela asher gazal. Over here, there may be no requirement of beshiv et gzela asher gazal. And that's why Rashi says maybe it's a Jew's property, because the issue would only come up with a Jew's property where there'd be a requirement to return it. As opposed to the Oved Kochavim's property, where you may not have a requirement to return the gzela. And that might be the differentiation that's here. Other Rishonim say, no, this is premised on the Gemara Baba Kama that says there is no gzela miyakum. And therefore the whole issue doesn't even come up. You know, oh, aren't you mafzik yehudei ovrei avera? The whole thing. He stole it. There's no gzela from Akum, and we don't worry about it at all. It's a non-Jew's property here. One goy stole from another goy. We don't get involved. It's not our issue anymore. So that's the other way that the Rishonim deal with it. But they're all dealing with this issue is why there's no obligation on you to return it or not to be makzik yudei ovrei aveira. And they do it from different perspectives. Either perspective that there's no obligation of heishivat gzela asher gazal, or there may be no issue of gzela whatsoever, depending on the outcome of the Gemara in Baba Kama. Again, I say, reiterate what I said before, that there is no condoning of gzela, it doesn't matter from whom, and that is what the Samak says, is a problem of chilul Hashem. We've seen it in the newspapers enough times to know that it is clearly a chilul Hashem, and that it's not allowed. As people who are the people of Hashem, we want to present ourselves in the best light, and that means that we do everything lifnei mishurat ha-din. Even if the din doesn't require it, we do lifnei mishurat ha-din, because we want to be the people that are chosen by Hashem, and the people say, he picked the right people. These are the ones that Hashem should have been his chosen people. Right, so now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Sof sof, ki gazu avankari, v'ave yeush balim biyadayu, v'shinu rishut biyadan. So he says, why do we worry about the fact that the merchants are cutting it? It's going to a third party anyway. The merchants are not using the dust. They're selling it off to another Jew. They're middlemen in this project here. So whether it's the goy who does it and then gives it to the avankari, so you have the gzela and then the shinu rishut, it worked the same way. If the avankari cut it and it gives it to another Jew, sells it to another Jew to use it, then again you have yeush and shinu rishut. So if that's the case, then the one who's buying it doesn't have a problem because he is now already one party removed from what transpired over there. So Gemara says, look, tzricha boshana davankri gufayu. It's a possibility that they're going to use it for themselves. It's their hadas. And in that case, they don't have a buffer between them and the gzeila. Gemara says, v'liknuhu b'shinui maaseh. Why don't you have a shinui maaseh here? Because when you bind the lulav to put it together, that's called a shinui maaseh. That shinui maaseh should be enough to create a yeush, and then a shinui maaseh after the fact. Well, you stole it, the yeush happens when it's clipped or cut, and then you need a shinui afterwards. Either a shinui reshut, which is not going to happen here because the bankari is going to use it for himself, or you need some other shinui. There can be a shinui reshut, which is change of ownership. There can be shinui hashem, the change of the name, which the Gemara will ask in 1 second. Or there can be a shinui maaseh. You did something to the object that changes the object. So what did you do to the object? Now you bound it up into the four minim. So you made it into the ra'ui, the mitzvah. Where it says, kasavra lo lulav ain't tzarich eged. This is according to the opinion who says that lulav doesn't require an eged, and therefore you could take them individually. You don't have to bind them together. That's what we said before, depending on which we show them, whether you have to then take them together without an eged. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggested, but others suggested you could just take them individually, one after the other, and it would not be a problem. Even if you say that lulav requires an eged, the eged can just be undone, and it goes back to being what it was before. So a change that can be returned to its original state is not considered a change enough to make a kinyan over here, because it's as if the object is still the original object. You just untie it, and you're back to square one. So Gemara says, okay, v'liknuya b'shinuya shem. What about the fact that you changed the name of the object? Dimikara havalei aso. Until now it's called a hadas. V'ashto hoshana. Now it's called a hoshana. Hoshana is the hadas l'mitzvah. So it's not only a hadas anymore. Now you're using it for the mitzvah. It gains a shem hoshana now. That's called the shinuya ha-shem. It changed the name, the way that you interact with the object, the way that you call the object. So that should be sufficient in order to have a change here that would make a kinyan. It is true, as a technicality, many times the shinui hashem comes with the shinui maaseh, that the object changed, and therefore. But the Gemara sees shinui hashem by itself as being sufficient to create the kinyan over here. Even if the shinui hashem does not come with the shinui maaseh, the etzem fact that the chafetz is now known as a new item, it's as if it was born anew. It's as if it's created anew.
But on shinui hashem, you know, bring it back to what it was.
Right, so that's what Tosfot asks. Tosfot asks your question. I'm saying not in all cases of Shin Hashem can you return it. But there are times where Shin Hashem can be returned to the original state. And that's what Tosfot asks. The first question you're talking about, Tema. Hamrina the Shini Maisar Chozel Briato. If you tell me that an action that goes back to its original state, Lo Shmei Shinui, for what Dem is Shinui Hashem? So too over here, why don't you say the same thing as Shin Hashem? It goes from being a Hadas to a Shana, and then you go from Oshana back to being Hadas. So why is this a Shinui Hashem that is efficient? Tosfot over here suggests that Shinui Hashem together with Yeush is more powerful. Because it's a Shinui Hashem that comes together with Yeush, that Shinui Hashem, even though Shinui Hashem can go back, that's not enough. So even though normally we'd say Shinui Hashem that Chozel B'riato is not problematic, here Shinui Hashem together with Yeush is strong enough to say that it is a Kinyan. Even though with by Shinui Maisa, Chozel B'riato, we don't say that. By Shinui Hashem, he suggests that we do say that, based on the Gemara in Baba Kama. So it's a Baba Kama issue in the end of Baba Kama, that Shinui Hashem in that situation would be enough. And Tosafot here gives a summary of all these dinim, and he says that Shinui Maaseh, that is not Chozer the Briato, that does not go back, is sufficient in and of itself to create a Kinyan, and that is the same is true with regards to Shinui Hashem, that's not Chozer the Briato. Those by themselves stand alone, deal right there, sufficient for a Kinyan. You won't even need Yeush in those cases. Then, Shinui Maise Achuzer, a Shinui Maise that goes back to its original state, is Koneh without Yeush, Midrabanan. And that is, we'll see in tomorrow's daf with regards to Takanat Meirish, and the Takanat Shavim, that allows a person to do it in order to facilitate them doing Tshuva. Now, Shinui Hashem, that is Chuzer the Briato, that will only work if you have Yeush together with it. Now, when you do have Yeush together with it, then it will work mi de'oraita. Shinui Hashem that is Chozer the Briato without Yeush is nothing. It has no impact whatsoever. Unlike Shinui Maaseh, Shechozer the Briato that does have a din of Takanat Shavim, that will be true as well with Shinui Hashem if there is a Takanat Shavim over here. But Shinui Hashem that's Chozer the Briato im Yeush will be kone mi de'oraita. Shinui ha-maaseh, ha-chozer the briato, even with Yeush, will only be kone mi de'rabanan, because of takanat ha-shavim. So Shinui Hashem will be stronger than Shinui ha-maaseh when it's chozer the briato. And therefore, in our case over here, when you have shinoi maseh achuzer lebriato with yehush, that is only a kinyan midrabanan. It won't be sufficient for you to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav over here. On the other hand, shinoi hashem achuzer lebriato together with yehush will be sufficient to create the kinyan deoraita in order for you to perform the mitzvah in this case. That's why the Gemara here says that eged is a shinoi achuzer lebriato, and therefore there's nothing to discuss anymore. On the other hand, when they bring up Shinoi Hashem, the Gemara doesn't say, well, it's a Shinoi Hashem Achuzer Lebriato, but rather this isn't a Shinoi Hashem, because had it been a Shinoi Hashem Achuzer Lebriato together with Yehush, it would be sufficient. Unlike by Shinoi Hashem, where if it's Achuzer Lebriato, even with Yehush, it's not sufficient. And therefore, in this conclusion, Tosafot says our Mishnah that talks about Lulav HaGazol has to be talking in a case where there's no Shinoi Hashem and no Shinu Maseh because they stole it when it was already bound. And since it was bound already, you don't have either of those items. You don't have a shinoi hashem, you don't have a shinoi maseh, and even if you had yeush, it wouldn't be sufficient by itself to create the kinyan that you need. The Gemara says, no, because mikara nami de'aso shano karile, that even the hadasim originally, they call them oshana. I mean, that they say that they're only the mitzvah. When they start picking them, they don't call them adas and then switch them out. He goes, oh, get me that oshana over there. They already used the term oshana from the beginning, so that's not a significant enough shinoi hashem in order to give a kinyan to the avant-kris. Why don't we say that the avant-kri can do it, and he'll be the one that cuts it, and then you give it to another party, and it would be fine, because you have a buffer between you, the one who's doing the mitzvah, and the one who took it up and cut it. Now, it's interesting the Gemara just doesn't say, because we don't want the avant-kri to steal. So then maybe he shouldn't cut it, because the one who cuts it is the thief. And according to Rashi, that would be a problem of mitzvah hababa veira. And that's why many of the Rishonim don't accept Rashi's interpretation over here, because we see that this part of the Gemara does not worry about that fact. All the Gemara is worried about is as long as there's a full Kenyan here, you can get rid of the problem of mitzvah baba veira. It doesn't matter who was the cutter or the one who executed on the gzeila. So we see over here that the problem is because Bankri wants to use the Oshana for himself. In that case, he has no buffer, and that's why we don't let him do it, because you're going to be missing shinoi maseh, shinoi hashem, none of these things work. And since you don't have any of these shinoi that would allow the kinyan to take place, you only have yeush, that wouldn't be enough for the avankri himself. So that's what Rav Huna says to these avankri, make sure that they do the cutting and not you, so there's a buffer between you and the cutting. So in order to solve that problem, you take the cutting is done by the owner, quote-unquote owner, of the property, then the middleman, the merchant, then can use it for himself, or he can sell it off to another party. In either case, it won't be a problem of not being yours, because you've already now had Yeush and Shinoi Rishut, or some other Shinoi that's involved here. And on top of that, you won't have a problem with Mitzvah Baba Veira, because the Gzeila is committed by someone else, not the individual who is doing the mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop over here.